Yes, sorry, ma'am.
Good evening. I want to welcome everyone tonight to the Committee of the Whole meeting for February 13th, 2018 at 6 p.m. First order of business, please, is roll call.
Councilperson Linville.
Present.
Brenner Miller.
Here.
Allen.
Here.
Terlowski.
Here.
Kolograph.
Here.
Spitznagel.
Here.
Thank you, council members. Also reflect in the record that we have our law solicitor, Mr. William Mason, and we also have our fiscal officer, Katie Iconis, clerk of council. Next item on the agenda is item C. At this time, we give the opportunity for any persons having business before council. We give an opportunity for anybody to ask questions that they may want to come forward and ask at this time. Please give your name and address. Okay, I see none. Next item on the agenda is item D, council comments. At this time, council, I do have a memo out there with all the directors' reports. And under council comments, if we could answer the questions about recreation fees. We have our recreation director here tonight, so she could answer any of your questions. I did copy you a memo of everything that was provided, and basically just asking if we could get some kind of consensus so we can put it in our March journal. So at this time, I will open the floor for anyone on council that would like to talk about this or any other items they'd like to discuss on council comments at this time on the agenda. Everyone does have a copy of the memo, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I know that I asked several questions. I sent an email out on the 7th of February, and I did get one reply on Monday morning, the 12th. And hopefully we've answered those questions. I think that Carol's here to address any other questions surrounding communities and surrounding prices. On the very last page of the memo, it does say we had 72 residence children at our summer camp. There were 20 non-residents. There were 92 children in last year's program. And no, the increase will not pay for the program. It'll be close, but it will not pay. Of course, I don't know what that percentage would be, but we are attempting to raise the fees to offset our budget. So our ratio for our counselors is 8-to-1 ratio, correct? So, council, if there's any questions about that or any other items that you'd like to talk about. Mr. Linville, any questions? Brenner Miller, any questions?
I don't have any questions. I just want to say that compared to the other communities, we're quite low.
That's right. She just passed it out before the meeting, the comparison to other communities. Any questions, Ms. Allen?
Actually, yes. I had a question for Council and Ms. Banasek. On the grandparent rate for the village, we have that currently at $225, which compared to just a one resident child is $200. I would really like to see that closer to the non-resident child rate. You know, I would give a little bit of a break to, you know, for the grandparents or the parents that are lucky enough to have the grandparents living here, but I would think that the break would be more leaning that way, coming from the higher end down than the lowest end up, only $25.
That's council's pleasure. Whatever you want to do with adjusting the rates, Carol, there's a reason you did that, because that's a non-resident rate, correct? At $225 weekly?
Okay.
I'm going on what you passed.
The grandparent rate. Well, I mean, it's based per child, too. That's like if there's two children with the grandparents, it would be double, and they wouldn't get a break there. But I think the way, and I don't know if Carleen looks at it this way, too, but it's a child who's probably staying with the grandparents for the summer. So I feel like that's, you know, like the break, you know. But I mean, if you guys all vote that you want it higher, I mean, I'll go higher. I did want to say that it looks like our rate is really, really low, but it's because we don't add in our field trips, and everybody else includes all their field trips in the cost of the camp. So that's why it looks like we're way low. But if you would add all our field trips to that, it would bring us up higher. But we don't make that a mandatory cost.
It's an option.
Right.
If the children don't want to go, they can stay at the camp or they don't
right.
have to come that day.
Right.
I know in Valley View it's mandatory in other communities.
Yeah. So actually everybody that we talk to is you have to, if you don't go to the field trip, don't come to the camp that day.
You still have to pay that rate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
I just need some kind of consensus tonight from the council members so we could put this in the journal. So any questions or comments on
what
Ms. Allen said?
The only thing, I think where we were going, though, was not to lower anything. I don't mean to, I get that, was kind of to raise things to offset some of the cost and some of the...
Our operations.
You know, that's where I'm at, Jennifer, with that.
Oh, yeah, no, I understand. It's just
you know,
realistically, it's only a $25 more increase if a grandparent's watching one child.
But,
you know,
but,
so, I mean, the parents are really benefiting from that. And I wouldn't want to see it at the $600 rate, but, you know,
right.
if it was maybe $300 instead. So it was just a little bit more that we could be getting. How many, Carol, do you have any idea offhand how many kids
I do.
That actually...
How many grandparents? Mm-hmm. There's about 20 grandparents that watch children.
Mm-hmm.
20 kids that come to the park.
Non-residents that are living with their grandparents.
The grandparents are residents, obviously.
Yes, on the last sheet.
We're
yeah.
20, about 20 children.
There, but where do those kids live? They don't necessarily live in the village.
You know,
that's why it's a grandparent.
Yeah,
and
right.
the grandparents are watching them, and they're there with those parents, grandparents during the week or during the day.
Yeah.
That's how they get the grandparents. Mm-hmm. Grandparent okay. lives in the village.
All right. I have a question. Junior Parker. How old is a Junior Parker?
4 to 7.
4 to 6.
That's right.
4 to 6.
6.
7 is, they can go all day.
Okay.
4 to 6.
I can just put this out to the audience, too. I don't know if you know. What is the cost of a babysitter?
I can answer that. My son babysits for $20 an hour.
$20 an hour.
Holy mackerel, I got to get a second job.
Yeah. So they're getting a steal.
Yeah. Screwing
with the Parker program. We're trying to.
Well, actually, everybody is, except for maybe. So, because she broke, Carly broke it down the price per day on the last column. And most people have a 10-week program. We only have a 7.
Right.
We're only there 4 days a week. And they're mostly there. They're all there 5 days a week.
I'm sorry, Carolyn.
That's okay. So that's the difference.
And I think the other ones also do give you like an aftercare, but you pay more. Like, let's say they go beyond, like, I think Solon's goes beyond 3 o'clock, but then there's a pretty steep fee. So for people who work to that 5 or 6, they can use that, but they pay for it.
Yeah. Now,
okay.
We have something kind of, we do have a cost for if somebody wanted
right.
to. We also have a late fee if you're not picking up your child when you're supposed to be. And then somebody has to stay with them. Of course, we have to implement something because that could get out of control. And we do have a program where if you're working late and you can't get to pick up your child and they're still at camp, they can pay one of the counselors to child 10.
Right.
And they pay the counselor.
I guess to get back to Jennifer, yours, where I'm, there's 6 of us here, so where I'm at is if we're going to raise things, we're going to raise it across the board to everything. So if we were to lower it, we're going to have to lower it across the board. Just from knowing, everybody knows their fees that comes up here. We lower one, well, why did you lower one and not ours? Or vice versa. We raise one, why didn't you raise the other? So I think if we're going to increase rates, we're going to increase. I would be more in favor of increasing it across the board, or if we're going to lower, we're going to lower it across the board. Typically, what we've kind of done in the past. That's just me as one person, but I can, you know, however
Well, I just want to say, Don, I'm not in favor of lowering them, not with the financial.
Right, no, no, I didn't mean that. I'm just saying, you meant just the one, if
right.
we were, right,
no,
but I'm just using
that. At that rate, I would rather see it at the higher end, like it's closer to the $600 range, because technically the child's not a resident, but the grandparent, you know, they're benefiting because the grandparent lives here.
And most of the grandparents pay for their program, not the parent.
Carol, do you
You know what I mean? When the child comes is staying at their house, the grandparents like, go to camp.
I guess our kids never leave. If we always stay, is what you're saying, Carol.
The grandparents are going to pay for it, you know, not the mom and dad, don't you think? Unless they do a field trip. I think then the parents
pay. Do you know if any of these other Valley View, Oakwood, or Solon, do they offer the transportation home like you guys do?
No.
Only thing
what a
was
steal, huh?
Solon offers transportation if they're going from their facility because they rent a school for their camp, and then they bus them to the pool. And they pay for the bus transportation back and forth. They're charged for that. And bus use for field trips. That's separate.
I'm old.
Mr. Mayor? And that bus thing has, is such a big issue, because if a grandparent is babysitting at home, that child gets picked up, and they also, because we have grandparents that don't drive, or, you know, one car or something, they have no way of picking that person, or a parent, too. You know, so that is a big plus, because we don't really, if you don't have transportation, you can still go to our park program. Not too many communities can say that.
Do we have any idea, with these new costs, at an approximate of how much of the Parker program it would cover? I mean, is this covering approximately 50% of the Parker program, or would this be covering 35%?
We know the budget.
Generally, year to year, the amount we're seeing for seasonal employment is between $30,000 to $35,000. All of that doesn't go just towards the park. Some of it is dispersed throughout the year at other events. So I would say about 30 is generally allocated towards just employees at the park. Mm-hmm. Then with the amount, I mean, we're bringing in close to 20,000 or so. So we are still operating at a loss, but it does make up a substantial portion.
But please keep in mind, we have seasonal employment. Those kids not only are there for summer camp, those 7 weeks, they spend a week or two prior to camp cleaning the park.
Doing everything they do on community day.
Whatever needs to be done.
And community day.
They also do community day. They set up for community day. They tear down for community day. They do the cleanup after the park is over. So it's not just Parker program.
It would be safe to say 60% of their salary is Parker program. And it would be safe to say 70% of what you collect covers the Parker program. Mm-hmm. Those are just estimates of the overall cost.
Yeah.
So we're still like 30% short, but that's more of an increase than we had last year. That's what we're trying to do here.
Right.
Because that was required of council at the budget meeting. So this proposal is because council requested it.
Yeah, just looking at the, you know, I got some of the report here, you know, our B52, and if you look at the expenditures versus the revenues, they're very close, you know, on the Parker program, if we just go by these line items, Katie, as you talk about.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
On the last page, so that you say last year there were 72 resident children in our summer camp. Does that 72 include those 20 kids that are here with their grandparents, or no?
No.
They're counted as non-residents.
No, they're counted.
I did put them in with the resident. So 20. So actually 52 proper residents.
Probably, yes.
Okay, give or take.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was last year.
Sure.
You know, every year the numbers are different.
They're always pretty close. You know, within 10 or 15, aren't they?
Yeah, probably, but, you know, that you can't.
You don't know, right?
You don't know, right, until you have sign up and you see what you get.
And the price per day you have here, does that, and you mentioned the other communities include the field trips and their cost. The price per day here would include the field trips also,
yeah,
then? Okay, so I'm trying to see if we're comparing apples and oranges.
That's
or
the way I did it per day. Our field trips are $200. if the kids pay so you do have... every field trip and could do bowling every week, sign up for all that stuff, that would be the loaded price.
I see. So this is apples to apples, this price per day.
As close as you can get.
Okay. You know, where I'm at with this, and I know we haven't seen the latest and greatest numbers for the income, the revenues, and expenses for this year. It's no secret that we are running out of money, and I would like to give everybody everything. And I would not mind taking a loss on this program. It's a valuable program. However, I can't justify taking a loss on this program if we're taking a loss on everything else and we ultimately wind up with a deficit budget for this year. Because, in my opinion, we cannot have a deficit budget for this year. And I know the mayor is, we've spoken, and there's some things on the horizon, business things, businesses coming into the communities and things like that here and there, that have a glimmer of light to that budget. But whether it pays for everything or not, we don't know at this point. And I know time is running short for the recreation program to either fish or cut bait here and do something. I have to think about this and kind of try to get numbers of where we're at right now and see where this is in a holistic, in the big picture of Walton Hills. If we take a $10,000 deficit on this, that's nothing in the big picture. But if everything else is taking the deficit too, you know, we still don't have a road program or anything like that. And I know our recreation is important, but we have to balance the budget. And I'm only one vote. So that's where I'm at with it. I'm not quite ready to say, yeah, go ahead, these numbers are good. For right now.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
The other thing with that being said, Brian, we'd like to get it in the journal.
Yeah, right.
So maybe we should dig into it a little deeper right now.
Sure.
Okay, it is a COW meeting. You got the expenditures and you got the revenues, right? I mean, if you can give us that number, Katie. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got the it right in front of me, but I want to make sure these are real numbers.
Which one do you have? The latest?
Yeah, it should be.
Year to date. I don't know what month that is.
But if you want to.
It's January. That's January's report.
Well, it's not January, no. We're still closing January.
You should be able to give us what 217 is.
Yeah.
What we want to see is what we'd like to see. If we see 217, what the Parker program costs and what we received in revenue for the sign-ups. We should see where we're at, mm-hmm. as far as if it's doing what you said. I guess what I'm saying is, I guess we're and I think we're all at it here, that if we do raise it, it's probably not enough. It's not going to. We never raise these Parker rates
to cover the
some big amount.
It's never going.
I think we're probably pretty close from what I just see in front of me. It looks like it's about $12,000 revenue and about $12,000 expenditure. Okay, I might be a little bit, so it looks like we're pretty close, at least if you look at these, okay? Here's your revenues, here's your expenditures. So I think we're already there, so as far as breaking even.
I think we're spending more than $12,000.
We spend more on salary than we take in on a membership fee.
Yeah,
We'll get in about $20,000
in
residence, and we're spending $35,000 on just seasonal employment. That is the number.
But as they said, the seasonal employees do more than just
the
Parker program, so it's hard to kind of.
But about $30,000.
Put it into that.
Because if you were to balance that seasonal employees with that whole park, you're going to exceed every community around here probably by double. If we're looking at we're getting $12,000 for the sign up. If that's what you're saying, that only that line item for Parker program is just the the sign-up fees, the program fees?
Yeah, well, I
You see what I'm saying? I mean,
we'd have to...
If we had the same numbers as we had last year as far as sign-ups, did you calculate how much money these new fees would bring in? As opposed to last year?
No. I'm sure that they didn't do that, but it stands to reason if they raise the rates, they're going to bring in more money.
Well, yeah.
That's what they're trying to do here because of the time of essence of report, putting in a journal. Because March is their month of sign-up.
Right.
And that's what this is all about. And that's why we didn't present nothing in January, because we didn't have any hard figures, and Carol worked on it in February.
Yeah.
And that's why we are where we are right now. And if there's more questions, we'll just go with the standard rates, and you guys could raise them in the middle of the season then.
I would hate to do that.
No, yeah. I don't want to do that either. That's why I think we need to make a decision here tonight. I recommend raise them at the rates that she's recommended and follow through later on in the year and see where we're at.
As a percentage, can you give me like a ballpark figure of the percentage you raised them from last year, like 10%, 20%?
They're on there, I thought.
Yeah, did you have one of these?
Which one?
The second to last page, Brian.
Yeah, the numbers are just all very nice and round, though. Some of them went up $50, and some went up $100.
I got to find that memo.
So she went to 50.
Did you just pass that out?
Yeah,
I don't have it.
That's in the package I gave you. But that's where she gave this memo.
Carol?
Yeah, that's right. We didn't raise.
Okay, I have it. Thank you. I just didn't have a chance to look at it.
That's all right. I know it's all.
Didn't get raised the year
it's in.
Before.
Yeah.
So it didn't get raised the year before, but we don't even really have it.
That was the one that was sitting here.
That much.
Anymore. Yeah.
I have a question on this one that you guys passed out. It says resident. You guys were supposed to $265.
$50.
But this sheet says one resident child would be $200.
I added bowling, not only just your rate, arts and crafts, those are what we consider outside of field trips. So it's the other activities, bowling, arts and crafts, movie club.
Okay, so that's not.
It's in this one. It's just not included in this one. That's why.
Okay,
it's different.
Right. But that's what I'm saying, because here you've got field trips are approximately $200 also.
But the field trip, I consider field trips separate. Bowling and all those type of things are activities they can sign up for.
The weekly ones, the movie club and things like that.
Yes, they have perpetually. The other ones are only one time. Field trips, we go once to a water park.
But those are also optional if they sign up for bowling or the tie-dye club or garden club.
And on those programs, we only pay for the program if they participate.
Correct, yes.
You're not paying for, let's say, for 10 kids and only 8 show up, and we still pay for 10. We're only paying if they participate.
Exactly.
Okay.
And they prepay for that.
Right. But I'm saying we're only being charged for what... The number of kids that participate.
Right.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I have a memo here dated February 7th asking for council's input on recreation programs. And it says the administration was asked to make a proposal to raise fees on all programs as well as all related fees to transportation to offset the village recreational program costs. So are you, when you say all programs, are you talking about senior lunch, increase that? You're talking about transportation to drive people to the doctor, shopping?
Yes, that's the what I was recommended by, just like the cut of the late club fee from $20,000. We were told that at the budget meeting, if everybody remembers, and I'm just following through on what I was requested by the council majority. And we were also talking about raising our transportation fees and everything across the bench. She's already done that.
Yeah,
we did give you a memo to show you that in December, where we raised all the transportation fees. And now we're trying to raise the recreation fees that was required by council. That's all I'm asking is council want to do this or not do this, and then move on.
Yeah,
because we got other fees we want to raise, like the senior lunch.
Right.
And then we want to talk about the cutting of the lake fees. So this is all part of the budgetary that I was required, and it seems as though we're having some confusion, so I just want to make sure everybody's on the same page.
We're not having any confusion.
No, we're just being presented with this now, so there obviously, you know, there's going to be questions. And I'm just doing a quick percentage increase here.
I think we have to raise them. There's no, we have to. I mean, you know, the levy was not passed, and we cut the budget, and we're just, and you know, nobody's felt anything yet. That's, you know, now it's crunch time. Now it's coming. So they have to be raised. I don't see these are out of order, what you'd have written them.
Do we know how many of the kids have the transportation home? Because that's something you have to sign up for, and it's pretty much either you're always getting taken home or you're not. And obviously, I mean, like the non-resident children aren't.
20.
That are?
Mm-hmm. 20 to maybe 30 a day, depending on, we split them in two buses, two routes.
That aren't.
I'm figuring out what 59 is.
Yeah, I'm just doing it quick.
Carol? Does anyone ride a bike to the park anymore?
Yes, they do.
I'm so glad to hear that.
We even have walkers.
I'm glad to hear that. I don't feel quite so old anymore.
Yeah, we have some bike riders. We even have some counselors that ride a bike.
Good for them.
Isn't that great?
I will tell you, Jerry, my son always wanted to ride his bike, but there was no way on Alexander Road.
I get that. Yeah.
Even walking on that street is tough.
Yeah, that's.
I would tell him no.
Well, Brian always rode his bike, so.
But Brian used to ride his bike. It's like a car.
Good for them.
Yeah, they
should.
They're right on the problem, though, so.
I remember Brian riding his bike.
Yeah.
I know Mr. Spitznagel's working on percentages. Any other comments while he's working on that?
No.
Well, I mean, just...
Okay if I open up the audience?
Huh?
Is it okay if I open up the audience?
Oh, sure. I'm just...
I don't want to rush you or not.
No. I don't have them all done, but it seems like, you know, one resident child, we raised that 33%, going down the list, 40%, three resident children, 57%. Grandparent rate 28%, and resident weekly 60%, and non-resident child 14%. So, you know, even if you take the low of 33% and you just, I mean, ballparking it here, we have the same or thereabouts the same amount of kids for next year. What did we come up with last year? What was the revenue? About $12,000, was it?
I thought it was closer to 20,000.
Oh, 20,000?
Yeah.
20,000? 20, so, public math here, what's 30% of 20,000, Bill? You're the attorney.
I just went by the one line item.
So we're closer to that 30,000 by about $4,000 or $5,000, let's say.
It'll be very close.
Okay.
Yes.
You support the fees as suggested, or should we just go a percentage?
No, I would. I think Jennifer has a good idea with the grandparents, with the non-resident fee living in the village or whatever. I would support that, but I also understand the burden on the grandparents too. I mean, it's a. No, that's where I'm at. I would support this. I'm willing to talk about Jennifer's idea also, too. I would support that, too.
Any other discussion about raising the fees for the grandparents?
I'm ready to go with what Carol presented.
I'm ready to vote, Mayor.
On what's presented, or you want to raise the fees?
Yeah.
What's presented? Yeah. Gloria? On what's presented, or what? Okay. Mr. Collingraff?
Yeah, but here's the thing, because, see, after you did that and looking at these, I wonder if we should just raise them the same percentage to
across the board.
Across the board, instead of increasing one. I kind of see what you did. You kind of did it by child. Mm-hmm. I get that. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I understand that because that's really the impact of the program is the number of children that changes your rate. But Maybe we should just increase it the same percentage, come up with a percentage, and then everybody takes the same increase.
If I could ask Brian, what was it was between 28 and 33%?
Check that. How does that?
Yeah. Well, if you sent your kid to like a Catholic school or a school, 60, 50, if you have more than one kid,
so I'd say we raise it like 30% across the board.
Because you're putting a burden on your staff.
Seems fair.
30% across the board?
30%
across the board?
That'll work.
It's still lower than what we have in front of us, but it's a standard. So everybody's comfortable with 30%. So what you do is recalculate 30% of what the fees are right now, and then you make a new list and put it in the journal.
Sure.
Everybody's comfortable with that?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so we've solved that problem. Any comments from the audience? So we will raise our Parker program by 30% across the board for participation next to 2018. Okay? Thank you, council members. Next item is item E. Discussion to move Old Service Garage into CIC. Council, you have a sample in the legislation that also pertains to the MPK property. I reference MPK because that's the address next door to that empty lot. We don't have an actual address to that, but we will have a parcel number to add to that legislation. This is for those two pieces of property to be added to the CIC, and we have a CIC meeting scheduled, Mary and Don, because you're on the committee for Thursday at 6 p.m. next Thursday.
Next Thursday.
On 22nd, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, nice notice, huh?
Well, I was going to say,
you've got more than 24 hours.
I would have been good
Thursday.
I've got some
plans for this Thursday. So.
No, Valentine's Day for you. Because you always got something planned. So what I ask is, council, is there any comments or questions on this resolution to move this into the Community Improvement Corporation so we can solidify these deals?
None.
Seeing none, any questions or comments from the audience on these two pieces of properties to be moved into the CIC through a resolution from the village council members? Seeing none. Council, this will be on next week's regular council meeting, and hopefully we can get suspension for it, and everybody will be okay with that.
Mayor,
Yes, sir.
I don't just for a record, just kind of outline the CIC. I know we talked about it yesterday. You had your coffee with the mayor yesterday, the first one in the evening, and I know people wanted to kind of know who is the CIC committee.
I'll give you a brief on
just
like I did last night.
Yeah, just a brief, because it is composed of residents. And
Community Improvement Corporation was brought up last year, and council gave permission for this to be created. It's a nonprofit organization. Mr. Mason recommended it, and we formed this committee. It consists of two council members, Mr. Colin Graff and Mary Brenner Miller, and also four residents, Mr. Carl Manage, Mr. John Nanari, Barb Bykovitz, and Dan Posick, the former mayor of Bedford, which lives in Walton Hills. With these four individuals and the two council members, we have the opportunity to negotiate economic development and to offer village-owned properties and other properties that are given to the village to negotiate. This same kind of scenario will happen with the house on Alexander Road that we divided off of our community building that we purchased. We want to sell that probably in the spring or in the summer months, and that will be donated hopefully to the CIC, and we can put it up for sale and negotiate a price and to make sure that we can control what exactly happens with that house and all the different details. Mm-hmm. Community improvement does not just consist of economic development. It can consist of several different components. And it's a very lucrative type program that was invented long ago. As far as I can remember, it's been around about 27 years. It's very profitable and very beneficial to Twinsburg, Beechwood, communities around us. With the council's authority, we put this into our toolbox for more economic development opportunities and gives us the opportunity to sit down and talk about different options. Mr. Mason is our legal counsel for that, and he keeps us on control with development agreements and all the language, so we have language to control what we do. Any other questions? Is that good enough, Don?
That's okay. Wonderful.
So those two items will be on the next regular council meeting for everyone to hopefully approve.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mayor.
Next item is item F, resolution to reappoint Billy Workman and Duke Owens to the Zoning Board of Appeals. This is standard housekeeping because they both expire in the month of March, I believe it is. Is there any questions or comments on that for those two individuals?
This is a 2-year, right, Mayor?
No, 6-year. 6-year, it's in the legislation, yeah. It's always been 6-year. We haven't changed our zoning thing. It's always been the code. If I see nothing or no any comments from the audience on Ms. Billy Workman or Mr. Duke Owens to be appointed to the Zoning Board of Appeals?
Yeah.
See nothing? Yes, ma'am. You want to say something?
Well, I'm wondering if
give your name and address.
Can I make a comment about the Zoning Board, or just are you asking only for Billy Workman and Duke?
You can make a comment if you'd like, yeah. But this is just pertained to Billy Workman and Mr. Duke Owens. Well, they've both been on it for
In regard to the zoning.
Yes.
I talked about it a little bit, and I know you talked about it quite a bit. I had brought up the fact that there seemed to be delays, seemingly unnecessary delays, because people have called me, and you indicated that that wasn't your experience, that you were blindsided by that, and that one of the members of council had excellent experience. And what I was going to suggest, well, two things, really. I think you had told me previously it was a 6-year term. In order to change that to a more, in my opinion, reasonable time, like 2 years, 4 years, would it be that someone on the board or on the council makes a motion and then presents it to Don or to yourself and then council votes on it? Is that how a change could be made?
No, if you'll let me and make sure I'm doing it correctly, Mr. Mason, it would be a piece of legislation, and it would be presented by either three council members or the mayor has the authority to present that legislation. We don't hold to the three council members. Usually we just, anybody makes a recommendation, we all find everybody's consensus, and we present it, and that would be a piece of legislation. However, I have to make sure that it doesn't conflict with statutory rules,
yeah,
because
right,
we're statutory, and it may be 6 years. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. I don't know where that came from.
That
was
long
before we ever came into this.
I know it has been a long time, ever since I've known. It seems to go on forever, and I was thinking it might be time to take a look. So it would be three council people that would get together and say, why don't we try to do this and
make
see
the
what
recommendation.
Yeah, okay. That's
our law director to process it.
I was wondering about the process, and I do appreciate your explaining that to me. The second thing that I've been thinking about is, in light of what I've heard and seen with my own experience and people that have called me with problems, a lot of it is delay. A lot of the problems are delay. And you had indicated that you would be interested in sitting down with the Board of Appeals and see how they operate. And that probably is a good idea. But I was thinking that I have a suggestion that might be helpful, and that would be to look at their docket to see when it was filed, when the person lodged the request, and then just watch and see when the meetings take place, because for what I understand is the main issue that was brought to my attention was the delays. I never attended any of the meetings, so I can't comment on that. I've heard complaints, but people, some are happy, some aren't. Mary's happy. So that's what I was just thinking. If you could just follow the timing of it and then maybe look at the rules, whatever they are, wherever they are, and just see if it's in compliance. And I guess that's about all I have to say on that.
Okay,
but
thank you. Any other comments? Okay, council members, I will have that on next week's resolution to appoint those two members to the Zoning Board of Appeal, and then in the month of March I'll bring them in and swear them into office, okay? Next is Resolution G, resolution to appoint Paul Rich to the vacant Board of Zoning Appeals position. Council member, this is position became available. Of course, everyone knows Mike Cummings, who's been on the Zoning Board for a long period of time, resigned. And so we have this vacancy. Any questions or comments on this?
Mr. Mayor,
mm-hmm.
I had a question, and it could go under either with the zoning boards. I was curious how the determination was made that Mr. Shockey is not a resident.
Well, he told us.
Okay, because he's still listed as one of our residents.
Yeah, he told us. He said he lives in Parma and uses that house. He told me that.
Yeah, I've spoken to him personally, too. Yeah,
he was, I was just curious. Yeah.
That's a determination. The man told me out of his lips. Okay?
Yeah.
I don't know what else
I hope it was out of his lips.
He told me.
So
we're both lying.
Yeah, no, it wasn't.
You know,
yeah, don't take it like that. It was just, yeah. Yeah,
he told us that.
Yeah, no, that's, I was just curious how we came up with, you know, how we knew that.
Yeah, I saw him. He's got that place on North Meadow Park, and I saw him, and I just happened to pull him. This was last summer because he had come to a council meeting.
He complained about that house beside him. Yeah.
And so I was talking to him about that, and he told me where he lived and what he did and all that stuff. So, yeah, he's not a resident.
So he would have known that.
No, he really didn't know.
A resident was a requirement.
He didn't know that. We had to point that out to him.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is something now we know when we advertise what's going to happen.
Well, we had somebody years ago run for mayor that had just moved into the village.
Less than 12 months.
And exactly. Yeah. And
went
didn't
through the process.
Know, right. Went through the whole thing.
And stole votes or whatever you want to say. But he,
right.
He
and
did
that
go
was,
through
I
process.
Mean, what, 10 years ago or so? More than that.
11 years ago.
Yeah.
Didn't meet the residency requirement.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
On that, the BZA that Ms. Moran brought up with the six-year terms, they do revolve, though.
Yeah, they're opposite. They're not all.
Yes, they do revolve. And, you know, I've been on council 12 years now. We've not had a problem with other than the complaint, I guess you could call it, that Ms. Moran brings up that people had brought up to her. As far as I've been on council, people who've been up for their term has been up, we reinstate them, one, because we feel they're doing a good job, and two, like for example, this time, we only had really one other resident that even applied. So there's not many people clamoring for these positions also. So it has seemed to work. And I did ask Mr. Mason before the meeting, I had a question about, let's say we do appoint somebody to a board, whether it's the BZA or whatever board we have. And these terms run 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, whatever, and they end up doing a lousy job. And I never thought about this aspect before because we haven't really come across this, but can we, or for some other reason, unforeseen reason, can we remove them? And Mr. Mason is of the opinion that yes, council can removed, and it happened in another municipality. So if that ever does happen, that we do feel that somebody does need to be removed for cause, that we do have that authority. We're not stuck with that person. So that, you know, gives me a little fuzzy feeling also. But none of these boards we've had, you know, extreme issues with that since I've been here.
No.
Thank you.
No, you're welcome, sir. Any other comments, council members? Yes, sir. Please give your name and address.
My name is Milan Verzik. I live at 14036 Swan Lake Boulevard in North Royalton. And I was wondering, is there a mechanism in place for feedback, both positive and negative, for the various boards that get appointed in the village? My feeling is, if somebody has a problem with the zoning board, who do they go to escalate or describe that problem?
If they are not happy with the outcome, sir, they have the authority to go to the district court, which would be Garfield Heights.
Okay.
And that's the
mechanism?
7 years, we've never had any challenges. And in fact, like Mr. Spitzenagel said, I don't know of anybody that had any major challenges. The board does work with our residents on various different options.
Is that the same mechanism for all the various boards?
Planning Commission, yeah, the same thing, because we made a decision on our house furniture and was taken to court on that. So it's the same exact avenue of recourse for anybody to go to a district
court. And if someone were to have negative feedback and wanted to pursue that, How would they be advised of that process?
They're told at the Zoning Board of Appeals how to do that.
Okay.
Here's our ruling. You have 10 days to overturn it and go to the court system.
Okay. So they are advised?
Yes, sir. They're advised.
Thank you.
There's a hearing. There's a swearing in. There's a whole nine yards of absolute professional behavior.
I'd like to make a comment.
Yes, Mr. Collins.
And I guess it kind of goes those comments there. The zoning board is also, Mr. Mason has to keep the zoning board on that straight legal thing and look at their opinion. It's not an opinion. There's rules they have to follow. They, you know, when they make that ruling, they have to give a denial, they have to give a reason for that denial. That denial is looked also by our law solicitor, because if it were to be challenged, you have to defend that and the village. So it's very important. It's not six people that just can make a decision. Well, you know, they live next door to Don. We're friends with Don. We don't like Carol. We're going to go with that. I mean, there has to be, because just what you said, it is challenged. And one thing, and so that is important, and it's kind of important what everybody's talking about, the people that represent that board, along with our law solicitor, have to be very competent, and the ruling has to be very black and white. Okay, they just it can't be vague. It has to be, because it can be challenged, and they have to defend that. And I think we've been very fortunate, besides having our law solicitor who's involved with the thing. We've had the zoning board before Mr. Cummings retired had two attorneys on it. Billy Workman's an attorney, so she sees very black and white. Not that we can't see black and white as just regular people, because a lot of us do. I feel I do, and a lot of people here do. I know Mary Alice likes to feel you see black and white. You know, you don't. It's always about what the law says or what is right. And then Mr. Cummings, who is an attorney, Billy Workman. Gosh, I think she's got 200 attorneys under her at her present job. I mean, she's. If you look at her bio, I think Jennifer made a comment even about her bio. She's very competent in that type of setting. So it helps the other members to kind of stay very focused, because just like this body, not one person makes that ruling. It's a vote whether to deny it or not, or to accept it, or give it's a variance or whatever. So it's a vote of those
Mr.
people.
Mr. Collingraff, yeah. I'd like to recognize that 99% of all our Zoning Board of Appeals, we have a legal counsel representing the village at those meetings. It's either Mr. Montello, our prosecutor, or Mr. Mason has been questioned on several different explanations of the zoning. So we do not make anything lightly, decisions or anything of that nature. We do go through a process. Did you want to say something, Mary Alice?
If I'm permitted, yes, 75 Mary Alice Moran, 7500 Linda Lane. That is very good to hear, and I'm glad that the attorneys are looking at it and that we have such a competent attorney on the board.
We had two up until Mr. Cummings just resigned, as far as attorneys.
Yes. Well, that is a very good aspect of it. I guess what really doesn't set well with me, and with maybe some of the other people that I've talked to, is that the village council, etc., seems to want more people involved coming to meetings and this and that. And sometimes you get the feeling that if the same people are re-upped to be placed on council, and there was one other person. Mm-hmm. And really, I know that it takes a little trick or two to study a rule and apply it to a given situation, but it's not rocket science. Mm-hmm. And there's many of us, not that I applied, but there are many people in the village that would be qualified with a little bit of help from people like the existing Billy Workman or whoever else is on council. I mean, on the Board of Zoning Appeals. Mm-hmm. There are many people that could fulfill that obligation, and even though you're satisfied with their performance, I just would feel more comfortable if we gave the opportunity to other people. I'm not going to say new blood or anything like that, but just different people.
You're right.
That's all. And I'm sure they do a fine job, especially after what you've explained. But that's just feedback.
Thank you.
Well,
thank you.
Mayor?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, I would think that our ordinances would control a lot of this stuff, too, the rulings and things that come out of these things. So I mean, we look at our ordinances. Another person who did apply for this was very well qualified for it. And as I explained my own vote, Paul Rich has got nearly 25 years of combined community service, and he's always prepared. He works hard and what have you, as this other person would also, I'm sure. But I wasn't going to turn down Paul Rich. I would like to see, hopefully this fellow's going to be still involved at some point, but there are more competent people. We know that, and we encourage that.
Yes.
They are paid $40 a month.
Yeah, I mean, it's that's not the...
$40 a month?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Are they paid by... I'm sorry, but are they paid by meeting or...
They are paid additionally $30 per meeting.
If the meeting...
If they have one.
If they have a meeting.
So they get paid more if they continue. $30 plus $40.
Any other discussion on item G, resolution for Paul Rich?
Mr. Mayor. I just
you want to say something?
Yeah, I just said, Mary Alice,
yes.
You know, we'd like to have more people involved, but they have to apply, and they're not applying. So we had three people, and one of them didn't even live here.
But one did, one I understood was a gentleman who comes to the council.
Yes.
And he was turned down.
He wasn't turned down. He just wasn't. He has qualifications, too. But as Mr. Linville had said, Mr. Rich has years of service on the Planning Commission with council. He knows the ins and outs of different areas of the village. The other gentleman, too, he has a great resume, too, but he's a new resident. And we all said to him, please, you know, don't give up. Things happen. People resign or whatever, you know. But no, we welcome other people to come and be on boards and different things and run for council and that. But it just isn't it. It's the
people. Well, facts speak for themselves, and it does send a message regardless, and I do appreciate what you're saying.
Thank you. I don't want to go back and forth with you.
I know, Mayor.
Your statement, but hopefully we won't have a reply.
Yeah, this is my last word, Mayor. I won't say any more. That other gentleman that applied, I'm sure he would have worked just as competently as Mr. Rich. But given Mr. Rich's track record, I was not going to vote against him being reappointed to the zoning board. And I thought I made that very clear of my position. So thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Is there any other comments from the audience, Mary Brenner or... Jennifer, do you have something you want to
say? Yes, I wanted to ask, do we have anything in place for term limits on any of these boards?
None that I'm aware of, no, ma'am.
Okay,
was there no more comments about Zoning Board of Appeals? Next is item H. Council members, this is the resolution to recognize our dispatch, police department employees, and our one sergeant for their outstanding service. We did explain it, and if you'll read in... the director's report, the chief has a few more details that relate to this, but basically we did give you a bullet point thing that explained all the details. Any questions or comments on that? I'd like to acknowledge them at this regular council meeting in next week. Any questions or comments on that?
No.
That'll be on next week's, there'll be three separate resolutions with all three employees.
And they'll be here, Mayor?
Yeah, they'll be here. We have the students here, which is another piece of the thing. Any comments from the audience about resolution? Carol, you and Carlene can go if you'd like. You know what we're
Carol
anticipating.
Carol wants to stay here.
Yeah. I would stay. I actually wanted to talk to somebody, so I'll just...
Okay. Any comments or questions about the resolutions to recognize our police and dispatch for their quality service? None? Next item is Planning and Zoning Board of Appeals. Council members, I still am reviewing this along with the Law Department, and we'll probably have something for you in the month of March at the first COW meeting with comparison of other communities. So I don't have really anything other than just open discussion about this and looking at the fees to make sure that we cover our costs. It may be already in place. We just want to make sure and dissect the language is in there. Okay, is everybody okay with that?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any comments or questions about the Planning and Zoning Board of Appeals fees for services to the village of Walton Hills? Seeing none. Council item J, student government resolution. That's a simple one that students will be here at 5 o'clock to eat dinner, correct?
Yes.
They'll be here earlier than 5 o'clock if you want to come. But at 5 o'clock, we'll have dinner in the community building. All the directors will be here. And the students will be able to shadow our directors. And, of course, you'll be appointed your student, as we always do. Mm-hmm. And I ask you to please, like we always do, set at separate tables and intermingle with the kids and conversate, because it does help out, you know, asking them what they want to be when they grow up and things like that. You guys are great at that. No one just groups in one group. So it works out great for the students. And when it comes time, we'll probably have that on the top of the agenda is a student government resolution, so they can come up front and read that. Okay, they usually sit in our seats and they read the resolution line by line, and mm-hmm. it gives them an opportunity to be recognized and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's next week on a regular council meeting. Any comments or questions about the student government? Okay, other business, I only have a few items, council members. CIC meeting next Tuesday, next Thursday, the 22nd at 6 p.m. in council chambers. So far, I think I've got everyone except Mr. Posick. He may not be available, but we have majority to have the meeting. Two items are the old service garage and the MPK property. I'll give you the parcel number, so we keep quit referring to MPK, but it's right beside MPK. It's the First Energy property that we acquired. Next item is I gave council this new piece of legislation, or new piece of challenge at the House bill. It just came to me at 4:30 today. Please read into it. I'm sure Mr. Mason can have some comments on it probably in the month of March. It's a House bill about traffic cameras, and you'll see in there who introduced it and who all is involved in it. Looks like Omaha, Ohio Municipal League will fight on our behalf, all the communities, not Walton Hills. But this language is about mayor's court and all the other details and civil cases. So read into it, and if you have any questions, ask Mr. Mason. I'm sure that he'll be able to give you a better answer than I have. I gave everyone their memos about their
directors.
About their directors, and the only other memo that I just wanted to bring to your attention was I did pass out a memo for the roadway maintenance program. Mr. Sheehy and him sent me a memo earlier today, and the memo is related to it would cost us approximately $40,000 in labor for the crack seal program. So this is something when we do the budget in the month of March that you'll have this for capital. Remember, we gave you a memo telling you that we got $34,000 mm-hmm. from the county, mm-hmm. but that's just to pay for the materials, so we have to pay for the labor part. And that's for it's a list of roads in our Sagamore Road, I believe Walton, Dunham, other roads.
I was going up Dunham Road last week at the north end by the service garage. It's horrible. It's falling apart.
Came up yesterday in the meeting.
In fact, I had occasion to travel up that road, and I paid particular attention. It's horrible. It's so bad.
I know, Council. It's getting some tough decisions have to be made on the roads, and as everyone knows, right now we don't have a road program other than this crack seal that's been offered to us, and we also have the program up there on Route 8 in Alexander. We're going to have to make some tough decisions, and that's part of our budget discussion. I hope to have that by the third week or second week of March. So everyone knows Katie Iconis will not be here for the first week in March, so I am doing the COW meeting and do the best I can. She's on a week's vacation.
We can Facebook her in here.
Yeah. I don't have that phone.
I didn't anticipate that heavy budget passed in March, so
we will pass at the end of March. We have to pass at the end.
Well, when I planned my vacation, I didn't anticipate we wouldn't have a budget.
You can take all the papers with you.
I will.
And the computer, right?
I can conference it. I can. I'm more than.
But I think we have enough information. Hopefully, by the second week of March or third week, with the traffic cameras and the businesses that are coming in and some of the other details, that everyone should be able to have a comfort level to project what we're going to do for the final part of the budget of 2018. Okay, with all that said, council members, I ask for a motion to adjourn if there's no more questions. Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. I just have one quick question on this red light camera thing.
Yeah.
You probably don't know the answer because you got it just like I did.
Yeah.
But I noticed it says red light camera bill.
I know, but you got to read into it.
Okay, so that was my question.
Yeah, was the
Are they including
the
speeding
says,
cameras?
We're not doing red lights, but it says red light traffic cameras.
Yeah. Okay.
And they're including the speed cameras into this lane.
Okay.
They're very coy about what they're doing. So once you read into it, what... If you read the email part, it sounds like they want to change our actual ordinances of our home rule.
Yeah.
And it's crazy, but, I mean, it's in writing. I didn't put
yeah.
it there, so it's like unbelievable what they're doing downstate. Any other questions?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm looking at the director's report, the police department, the last page. This is probably from just a curiosity for myself. It's the very last one. And it says, officer responded to Marathon gas station. Where's the Marathon? Which one is the
this
Marathon?
This one right here.
Mike's.
Right across the street, yeah.
Okay, Mike's. Gas station for theft report. Mail came in earlier in the week for gas and had no money. Dumped $27 in fuel. Owner gave him until the weekend to return with the money. Report taken. I thought they could not pump gas without... You know, with inside that they would click something that allows you to pump.
If you read this, he probably went to the owner and says, I don't have no money on me. I need to put gas in my truck to get home and I'll be back to pay.
Okay.
And it says he waited a week before he turned him in. So he made a report, so he probably will write this off as a loss. And here's a dated document to say that I lost money this day.
Okay.
Mike's that way. He will
yeah.
work with anybody. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're married. He's good. Yeah.
I mean, that's not what it says in the report, but you can read it into it if you look at the language.
Yeah.
Because they don't turn on the pump unless you have a credit
yeah,
card.
That's what the, how, you know, how
yeah.
do you do
yeah.
this without... You know.
He may have known the person, and he's not paying up. So he's using us as a collector.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Yes?
The article about the red light cameras and the speed cameras was on Cleveland.com last Wednesday. So I was wondering if Mr. Mason was looking into or finding out, because it talks about reducing state funding... the same amount of money that we collect on these cameras.
Yeah.
So what would our repercussion be then with getting or not getting the cameras to it?
About $18,000.
$18,000 is all we get from the state. They can keep
money.
It if that's all they're going to pay.
Yeah, it's a material.
We're not like Bedford getting $1.3 million.
Yeah, our state funding has been cut pretty drastically. So
most of them have been lately. So that's
anything that they would take the benefits far outweigh the cons on that.
Councilman Allen, also, I haven't read it. I just glanced through it, and it does look like they're infringing on the village's home rule power. So if this does advance to become legislation, this is going to end up in the Supreme Court. There's no question because of that conflict that it's
created.
Well,
it's always been.
Yeah.
You know,
and
with all of this back and forth.
It'll be probably 2, maybe 3 years before it's resolved.
There's one more at the end, isn't it?
So we have the opportunity to continue to move forward.
Correct.
And that we've not paid a dime into this, and if the laws change, it doesn't cost us anything.
Right.
Anything
it's in the contract. It's defunct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the contract.
Well, Mayor, we can proceed right now, can't we, because we passed the legislation?
Yeah, we're waiting on that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Waiting on what? I mean, we're not
we're
waiting.
We're doing a traffic count right now with the car.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But we're not waiting on the state. I
oh,
mean,
no. We put everything in place, Mr. Lindo.
Exactly.
We're waiting on the cameras
Talk
to be mounted
in
the process.
Yeah, it's not next month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have a motion for adjournment, please.
Mr. Mayor, motion to adjourn.
Second.
COW.
Second by Mr. Linville. Any questions or comments?
You got any mornings with the mayor?
Tomorrow morning is morning with the mayor at 9 o'clock in the community room on Happy Valentine's Day to everybody. Hopefully you spend it with somebody else besides me.
Somebody better looking.
Yeah, somebody with better looking hair.
We got a vote.
I got a vote on the motion for adjournment, please.
Councilperson Linville?
Yes.
Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Terlowski?
Yes.
Kolograph?
Yes.
Spitznagel?
Yes.
Thank you, council member. 7:04 is meeting adjourned.